across the city and South Cambridgeshire.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
And that was The Fairy Tale of New York, Pogues featuring Kirsty MacColl. And I want to welcome my lovely guest, Tim Gillett. Good afternoon, Tim.
Hello, Alex. How are you?
I'm very well. Do you want to come a little bit closer to your mic? Push the mic a bit closer to you. Yeah, that's it.
Is that better?
Yeah, that's better. Good. Yes, so I played that one because it's one of my favourite Christmas songs ever.
It's the best Christmas song ever.
Yes. Well, yeah, really? I think you're right there. I think you're absolutely right. But you also play that as part of your set, don't you?
It has been known.
It has been known. So I'm hoping that's one of the ones you're going to be playing tomorrow night at Portland.
Couldn't confirm or deny,
right? No. So before we go on to talk about the gig tomorrow, can you tell me a little bit more about Sugar Beet and how you all got started?
Yes, so it's just about 10 years ago.
Wow.
Almost to the day, really. It's a group of friends. We all sort of discovered that we knew someone who played an instrument. Someone said, why don't we get a band together? It then took about 2 years for it actually to come to fruition. Lots of drunken conversations about, well, we really got to do this. And then one morning I woke up and said, right, okay, we're going to do it. And phoned up my three mates and said, right, I've booked a gig at the Portland in 4 months' time. Are you in or not? And off we went.
So nothing like a bit of pressure to start you going then?
No, I think it was just the impetus that we needed, really. Yeah. So it's just about 10 years ago. We practice every week. We do between 8 and 10, 12 maybe gigs a year. So we're probably up to about 100 now.
Wow.
Still going fairly strong.
Yeah. And so... You've got Beverly Kills as well as the support this year.
Yes, absolutely delighted. We've had a lot of support bands over the year and some really brilliant ones. Beverly Kills have been around for about the same length of time as us. I think they've actually just celebrated their 10-year anniversary.
Oh, right.
Four local girls, ladies, women, who play fabulous melodic pop punk kind of stuff. They're just superb band.
Yes, and I mean I saw them didn't they play at the Subterranean Festival last year?
I think that's
the first time I saw them there. I thought they were brilliant.
Yeah, very impressive.
Yeah. So they're on first, and then you're on.
Indeed.
And that's the Portland Arms.
Portland Arms. I'm
now you, yeah. It's a charity gig. So are all your gigs charity gigs?
A lot of them are. We kind of have a. Traditionally, we do if we do a public gig, we choose a charity. We've done a lot for Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation, which is the one that we're doing tomorrow. Though last year our Christmas gig was for War Child, which looks after refugees, local charities, national charities, and then we occasionally do what we call paid bookings, where we have people book us for a party or a wedding. And that just goes towards our rehearsal costs.
So, excellent,
we've raised tens of thousands of pounds for charities.
That's amazing. That is absolutely amazing. So could you tell me a little bit more about the Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation?
Okay.
Because I know you've got a personal connection.
Yeah, in fact, that's the reason why Sugar Beet is called Sugar Beet. when we formed, we had the intention of just doing one gig for diabetes research. The reason is that my three sons are all type 1 diabetics. In fact, only 10 years ago, only two of them were. One has since been diagnosed, so all three of them are now. Obviously, diabetics have an issue with sugar, which is why we're called Sugar Beet. The first gig we did actually was for the same charity. We've done about five or six, I think, for them now. And they basically fund research into type 1 diabetes in the UK. In fact, it's a global organisation, but it has a British branch, which is the one that we're raising money for.
In the last 10 years, have you seen changes then in what they've been able to do? I know I was just talking to you just off air that the Duchess of Cornwall visited recently to Addenbrookes because there was a big headline that she was visiting for the juvenile diabetes, looking at some breakthroughs, but...
It's a lot long old process. So it's not that long ago. I think it was just after the war. when the very first insulin pump was developed.
Oh, really?
And it was the size of a large rucksack. It was huge. Whereas now insulin pumps look a bit like a mobile phone, probably even a bit smaller than a mobile phone. In the last 10 years, yes, the technology has moved on a lot. When the boys were first diagnosed, they were using insulin pens or syringes to inject their insulin, whereas these pumps now do it automatically.
So they carry them on them?
They're connected to them at all times. Yeah. So they have a plastic cannula that goes into the skin, and then the pump clips onto that. They still have to manually check their blood sugar levels, which is how they then manage the diabetes by dosing themselves with the correct amount of insulin.
Right.
And they have to check their blood sugars between 5 and 10 times a day. The kind of next stage of development, which you, like I said, has been in the news recently, largely because our Prime Minister actually wears what's known as an insulin patch or a patch on her arm.
I didn't know that.
That's why it was in the news a few weeks ago. And this patch continually measures the amount of blood sugar in your blood, and it can then send messages to the pump, and the pump will then dole out the right amount of insulin.
Rather than you have to manually check it yourself,
to check it yourself and to calculate it yourself, this mechanism does that all for you. And it's just more healthy to keep a constant idea on what your blood sugars are doing all the time, rather than every 3 or 4 hours.
Spiking, I guess. Yeah. And I forgot what I was going to say, but so. With you were saying that though that all comes at a cost though.
Yes, it does. So the I'm not sure whether the Prime Minister actually gets hers on the National Health or whether she pays for hers. She could probably afford to. It's different in different parts of the country. It's one of these postcode lottery type things. So in theory, there should be enough money, there is the political will for everyone to have one of these patches.
And you said they have to be replaced probably every 5 days,
yes,
so
they are
disposable,
as
it were.
They're disposable. They last between 5 and 7 days. And I believe if you buy them yourself, they're about 40 or 50 quid a pop. In some places, they are... they are given out on the NHS, but as I said, it's down to your postcode, and also down to how you are looking after your diabetes. And I think in a lot of places, paradoxically, the worse you're looking after your diabetes,
the more likely you get one of these pumps to
ensure that you're kind of kept healthy. Mm-hmm. And there's a huge disparity between different parts of the country. I believe in England, it's something like 2 or 3% of people have got these pumps, whereas in Northern Ireland and Scotland and Wales, it's a lot higher. And the news story was basically saying that why can't everyone have these? But in fact, the sort of stated intention is only still for 25% of the population in England to get one.
And but that's still a lot more than 2%, I guess.
It's obviously better. But again, I think it's still going to be based on need. So it's not as if everyone's going to suddenly magically get one.
And people are managing with the pumps, like your boys manage with the pumps
anyway. Yeah, you have to, really.
Yes. Yeah, well, I suppose exactly. You don't have much choice, do they?
No.
I suppose anything to make life a little bit less of a bind, really.
Yeah, it is. I mean, these little finger pricks. I mean, it doesn't really hurt, but to have to jab a bit of sharp metal into your fingers
six, seven, eight times a day is
not a lot of fun, really.
Okay, so this is who you're raising the money for, to get, obviously, all this comes at a cost, so that anything...
Yes, I mean, it's a big, very big, very successful charity, and I know it raises a lot of money, so anything we can do to help.
Excellent. So tell us more about the gig, then, tomorrow night.
What do you want to know?
We're trying to get people to come. There's still tickets available, which is very good news.
Still tickets available.
And will they be available on the door as well?
They will. So they're online. They're on sale through a company called WeGotTickets.com. It's easy enough to find on there or through our Facebook page or whatever. We'll probably be closing the online sales at about 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. But yes, there will be tickets available on the door.
And how much tickets?
£7.
£7. What a bargain, eh? For two great bands.
£7.
Yes. And are you allowed to give us any tips on any clues of any of the new numbers that are coming up or any of the favourites that people like?
We've got 4 new numbers in our set. Traditionally, we don't give game away on any of what we're actually going to be playing.
Okay, so that's good.
I can rule out some if you want.
Okay, you can. You can rule out some because I assumed, to my own detriment, that you would play some, because I've seen you before and I know you, it's a great night out and it's a great time to dance the night away. But now you've just told me, you just let me down with all the ones I thought you were going to play. So what you're not playing?
What we're not playing? We're not playing End of the World as You Know It.
Right.
We're not playing that Wizard song about Christmas.
Oh, good. That's probably a good thing.
We never play anything by the Beatles.
Oh, yeah. you've made a pact.
An early pact was we all sat down before we had even had a first rehearsal and said, right, what don't we want to play? And the rule is within the band that if one person vetoes a song, that's it.
Okay.
And our bass player at the first meeting said, yeah, this is all very well, but we're not playing any Beatles or Rolling Stones or U2 or anything from the Commitments album or Blues Brothers.
Okay, fair enough.
But that leaves you quite a lot of leeway.
So yeah.
Given our the band's kind of collective age, it's probably no surprise that a lot of the stuff's going to be from the 70s, 80s and 90s, though we go earlier than that. I think the oldest song we play is from 1956 or something like that.
All right.
And we have got a song from last year. So,
ooh, getting modern.
Indeed.
Very good.
But, you know, it's slightly not off the wall, but it's not your kind of standard covers. We do The Clash, we do The Cure, we do Blondie.
And you've got a brass section, haven't you? Which is quite unusual for a covers band,
yeah,
I think.
That's quite a complimentary way of putting it.
So our
keyboard player Martin, who I understand might be listening, it's his birthday yesterday. Happy birthday Martin. He plays keyboard, but he also plays saxophone. He actually has been known to play two saxophones at the same time, which is an amazing trick. I don't know how he does it.
No.
And I occasionally join him on the trumpet, and occasionally on a baritone horn. And our other singer, Ian, has also learnt to play the trumpet, so tomorrow you'll see him playing a trumpet as well.
Oh, at the same time?
No, because obviously...
Because you'll sing. I was about to say, yeah. I thought you might just have doubled your brass section, but then you'd have to have someone else singing.
Indeed, yeah. And I miss out on a lot of songs because I play the trumpet.
Oh, yeah.
Because I was like, I'd love to do that song. Well, tough to me playing trumpet.
Yeah, so you're swapping over, you're taking turns.
Very good.
Well, it all sounds brilliant. Have a great night tomorrow night. I know it's going to be a great night.
Yeah.
So that's the Portland Arms tomorrow night. What sort of time?
Beverly Kills will be on stage shortly before 9 o'clock. Doors open between 8 and 8:30, and we'll be on probably just after 9:30 until 11. Portland shuts at 12:30, Come for a beer in the bar afterwards.
Lovely.
Well.
That's brilliant. Wonderful. Thank you ever so much, Tim, for letting us, filling us in on that, and have a great night.